wanted to talk about today was gratefulness. Gratefulness, thankfulness, they're kind of the same side of two different sides of the same coin, however that saying goes. And that's kind of what
I've
we wanted.
Heard that.
You've never heard that? Two sides of the same coin? I have to explain the jokes to you now. Anyway, so that's where we're going to start today. And I think the verse that I wanted to pick out was Psalms 95, verse 1 through 5. We'll read this in the Message Bible. And really just talking about gratefulness from the beginning. So I'll read this real fast, and I'll have you react to that and, you know, probably pepper you with a bunch of questions, as always. So we'll go through this right now. It says, "Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us." That was pretty good. I thought you were going to go Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
I know, I can't do the eyebrow, but okay. I can raise the roof. All right, go ahead.
"Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns." And why? Why, you ask? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. And it talks a little bit more about, on one hand, he holds up deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, grasps the high mountains. He made oceans. He owns it. His hand sculpted earth. Like, this is, it's talking about his greatness. It's touting God's greatness. And I like this, these verses specifically because it talks about his goodness. And it talks about his greatness, his omniscience. And just let's give praises and shouts unto God, because that is literally our reasonable service.
Okay.
So today we're going to be talking about being grateful and being thankful, because I think we as believers, as people, we have so much to be grateful for, but I think our default isn't always set to being grateful, to being thankful. I think as, you know, as you're just kind of walking this life, situations happen, events happen that sort of jade you, where you're not really thinking about being thankful or grateful. And, you know, sometimes when our positioning is off, it's hard for us to be, "Lord, I thank you," just because.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about a little bit today, about what does being grateful mean. So let's start there and then kind of see where this conversation goes. When you hear the word thankful, when you hear the words grateful, what comes to mind when you hear those? Wow.
I know. This is the part where I speak.
Go.
It's about, I think, grateful and thankful, like having a grateful heart, to be thankful in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
To give thanks, to say thank you.
For what?
Where do we start?
Well,
all kinds of stuff. I mean, why you should thank all the time.
Do you find it difficult to be in a position where you're grateful or thankful all of the time? I think the better question I'm asking, like, as a believer, have there been times where your default isn't to be thankful, like where you're overwhelmed, or it's like, you know what, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, just about being in a position where, you know what, I'm complaining more so than being thankful. Like, my heart is not geared towards thankfulness for anything. I'm more consumed by, this is terrible, this is awful. You know, have you ever been in that situation, or is that just something singular to me?
No. Okay. Sorry. You threw me off a little bit. So yeah, I've definitely been there. We joked about this a little bit. Yes, I have 100% definitely been there. There have been parts of my adult life
mm-hmm.
where I have been there. There have been parts of my childhood, my teen years. Absolutely. I'm not always grateful for everything. Like, there's some things that I wish didn't happen, or
sure.
that I had planned differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful for them looking back, because it framed who I am now.
Sure. Like, no regrets. Like, I'm, things have happened, even though they may have been not
what
I wanted.
Oh, no, I have regrets.
Well, I mean, I look at it through this lens that when we read Psalms 95 and it talks about giving praise unto God, which is what we should be doing, and singing
yeah.
praises and hymns and letting the rafters fill up with that joyful noise, mm-hmm. you know, and recognizing his greatness, that is ultimately the quintessential essence of providing him praise.
Yeah.
But 1 Thessalonians talks about being cheerful no matter what. I'm going to read this real fast, because this is where I really need, I'm going to ask you some questions here, mainly because I think you'll give me an honest answer, and it'll probably help me get through some of my other sort of murkiness here. Okay. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, I'll read this in the Message Bible. It says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. In verse 19, it says, well, don't suppress the spirit. Don't stifle those who have a word from the master. And it kind of goes on and on and on. Be cheerful no matter what is something that as a person, as a human being, I struggle with because being cheerful is not my default setting.
It is mine. So that's why I struggle with your question. So I apologize. So am I grateful and thankful all the time? No. But let's look at it through a cheerful heart. I talked about sickness, right? So if the sickness brought us, if the Lord brought us through the sickness, I should be thankful for the Lord, right?
You're thankful for coming through.
Coming through, okay. Not thankful for the sickness.
Right. He didn't put it on you, but you're thankful
exactly.
The end result here.
Right. But the struggle that happened during that time, I was not thankful for.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason why this is important for me, like the reason why I chose this as our...
That's what I was going to ask you. Like you chose this topic and I'm kind of...
I chose this...
I'm interested why.
I chose this topic... mainly because it's been weighing on me about being more available for him to teach me how to be grateful and thankful.
Okay.
I think I've been through some things here recently where I have been able to see the opposite side of a situation as opposed to let me complain about this. This is terrible. This is awful. I think I've started to find happiness for me personally in being happy no matter what. And it's been a struggle to get to that point because sometimes I don't want to be inauthentic. And there's days where it's like, I'm not feeling it, but Lord, I thank you anyway. Even when situations are going sideways, I'm still grateful that I'm still here for this, you know, for whatever this is, I'm thankful for this moment. And the reason why I ask you, because your disposition tends to be more cheerful and grateful and thankful, where that's, you know, your heart is fertile for those things.
Oh,
and I'm always looking and wanting to know, how do you get to that place? Like, how does that happen? You know, and ultimately what we're trying to do is get us to a point where, you know, thankfulness and being grateful and being mindful is the default setting as we go throughout this life. And that's something. Now you talked about a minute ago. You talked about a minute ago that, yes, there have been some disappointments and, you know, you may not have always been cheerful or thankful or happy. One, when can you pinpoint when that changed for you? Where gratefulness, thankfulness became your default setting?
I'll answer your question in 1 second.
And it's kind of a trick question.
I know. I'll answer your question. But here's my thought, though. this is funny. These are totally unscripted. And I'm not prepared for this at all. I have to let you know because you're hitting me with these questions that I was not thinking that you were going to ask. Our pastor says feelings are fickle, mm-hmm. and you use the word happy. And I have to give you an example from work because our VP of operations says hope is not a strategy. So I told my team to change the word hope with plan when they speak to her. And I noticed that they change it with me. They, mm-hmm. right, so they don't say, I hope to have, you know, whatever. They plan to have. And I found that interesting. I think you need, this goes back to our previous conversation. I think you need to change the word happy.
Mm-hmm.
Happy is like, this cup makes me happy.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about happy. I think we're conflating the conversation. I want to know, how do you cultivate an environment of gratefulness? How, and the reason why I'm asking you this, because ultimately, if we as believers can master being grateful and thankful in good times and bad times, you change your perspective immensely. As parents, if we can instill an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness, then you raise better people.
All right, so let me give you an example, and then
certainly.
I'll answer your question. And I think you're going to be a little bit amazed. Not amazed. You're not going to be amazed. So this is, I had this conversation this morning mm-hmm. with Jackson, right? So Jackson is inquisitive. He's brilliant. Not controlling. He's a lot like you, right? He's got the same type of personality. I said not controlling. He's got the same personality, right? He's smart for his own good, right? He's beyond smart for mm-hmm. his age, right?
Sure.
So I gave this example earlier. So he came into our bedroom to go use our bathroom this morning to get a glass of water. And I asked him, why did he walk past his? And I asked him, so it developed this conversation. And I said, did you just want to be with us? Or did you mm-hmm. want to be with somebody? And he said, I wanted to be with daddy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? I don't see him that often. And, you know, you work late, like he's at school by sure. time, you know, that kind of thing. And I said to him, I said, your behaviors sometimes don't give him the opportunity to always want to be with you because you kind of send him left. I said, Jackson, if you want to sit with greatness, you have to be quiet and just admire. And I stumped him.
You're stumping me right now. You're stumping me right now. So, but that's awesome.
You're going to make me cry. We've been together for a very long time.
We have.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've witnessed greatness.
Sure.
And I have witnessed not greatness.
Yeah.
Right? This is why I am where I am today. When he wants to be with you and you are hangry mm-hmm. or you're just getting home from work and you don't have your jacket off and you still have your bag, like that's not the time.
Right.
Right. So that's what he sees. Right. And that's what he equates to. And he's like, oh, well, daddy's getting attention. So I'm going to act out. And he acts out as well as a 9-10 year old can.
Sure.
Right. So I know how old my son is, but he doesn't know those emotions yet.
Yeah.
Right. So to teach him, I said, if you want to sit with greatness, you have to sit still and listen. Don't ask questions. Don't get in. Oh, what are you working on? Just be, right? Yeah. Just sit there and listen and watch what he's doing. And he was amazed by that answer. And it made sense to him after we talked it through a little bit. And he said, that's what I wanted. I said, okay, so when daddy's home, you sit down and you just hang out with him, right? And just don't ask for anything. Don't try to show him anything in your book or in your iPad or ask him what he's doing. Just sit there and he will give you the wisdom that he has learned over his lifetime and he will share that with you. And that's not something that you would ever ask for, but right. you have to be grateful when you have it. And I promise you, I had no idea what we were talking about today when I had that conversation with him.
Yeah.
So that being said, I'm the little girl with the bubble gum, if you know what I mean, right? So I still see myself, and in my age now, mm-hmm. I still see myself as that little girl. Like, the world is innocent to me. And I know, look, I know, right? Yeah. I'm not naive to this.
Sure.
But the world is innocent to me. And you said the other day, like, how do you get that? Toddlers have that same spirit because they don't know sure. any better yet.
They're not jaded. They're not impressed upon by
right.
someone else's
so
whatever.
Here's the thing. We've had multiple pregnancies mm-hmm. and we have only a few children to show for that.
Sure.
Right. And that's ridiculous to say. We have 4 children, but we've had 8 miscarriages along with our live births, right?
Yeah.
So there was a time, and they were all very close together, and yeah. there was a time that it was very dark for us. And you handled that very differently than I handled that. And we both came out of it stronger and better.
Sure.
But was I thankful during that time? Heck no.
Right. And that's the point that I'm asking. Like, how do you make it through when things have gone, not just a little left, but I mean,
yeah.
way left.
So my natural, you asked me 2-part questions. So my natural instinct, and hear me.
I'm hearing you.
Without judgment, right? We talked about this before, without judgment.
Sure.
My natural instinct would have been to drink through it, right?
Sure.
Just hear me. Yeah. Would have been to drink through it. And I have, right? I've been redeemed. I know my limits. Sure. There is addiction in our family, in my family. There is addiction in my family. And I was very aware of that.
Right.
So I made sure that that stopped.
Sure.
The alcohol, right? So it is many years ago. I have since replaced that with other addictions. Not necessarily like, oh my God, but food.
Do tell.
Yeah, right? What kind of conversation is this?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Food.
Yeah.
Right? Because I comfort myself with whatever I can, whatever, right? So I grew up in a not poor family, but not wealthy. And we made sure that we cleaned our plates. And I joke with the kids, right? When we have wings, like you can feed a little family off what you left on those wings, right? So I make sure I take care of that for them. So I make sure that I try not to share that with them, right? So I make sure that they know that. But I'm now in control. It's hard to tell, but I'm now in control, right? Mm-hmm. And some people like my fluffiness, the one that matters.
That's all that matters.
But it's unhealthy, right? It's unhealthy. It's not the way I look. It's really unhealthy. So I'm making obvious choices for that. But anyway, I digress. Capital. You can't serve both. You can't serve two masters, right? You can't. The one that you feed is the one that going to win. So when I realized myself years ago when we met. And when we first met and I would ask you about church, I was like, it's really interesting. But when I gave my life to the Lord, my life to the Lord is when it changed.
Right.
But I'm still a Christian.
Yeah.
And I don't backslide.
Well, you still live in the world, but too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, stuff comes at you.
Sure.
And I don't want, and here's the thing. I am very thankful for my children, and they are fabulous. I do not frame my life around them, but I'm very grateful for them for the lessons that they have taught me. I didn't want children growing up. Like, I didn't want to get married, didn't want to have kids. Mm-hmm. And here I am, right? 4 kids later. And I have learned that they are the best blessing. And not so much that they're going to carry on my knee, because they can teach me so much.
Right.
And to see the way Ethan looks at me, and he's like, and Jackson did it this morning. He's like, you look beautiful. Like, it melted my heart. He doesn't know, right? Either way. Like, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, let me tell you something else. So he doesn't know what I'm going through. And not that I'm going through anything. He made me feel good, period. He made me feel good.
Sure.
And I was thankful for that.
Yeah.
And that's because that's what we taught him.
Right.
Right. He addressed that we really try not in our house to judge people by the way they look. Right. We don't do that. We try to teach them this isn't the way you look at society. Right. You don't judge them. You judge their heart. How do you know someone's heart when they're walking down the street? Well, you don't. But you have to have a conversation with someone. Right. Mm-hmm. So if we're teaching our children that this is the way that to be thankful, they're going to stop and pause and get to know someone and have that conversation. And grateful for the opportunities that's lent to them, right? Because it's not promised.
Right.
And when we look back at them and we can say, I've learned this, this, and this from children. And if I can reflect on my childhood, I'm like, that was horrible. Or, hey, that was great. That's what I live on. And I don't live in the past. I take those opportunities where I am now and I say, I'm not going to live through this situation, beat myself up or criticize or comment to somebody else because what I'm going through, I'm going to take what I know, which is the Lord now, and expound on that and have that take the place in my hurt heart. In my hurt heart, and have that be fixed.
Yeah. I think...
I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
No, I think your answer is quite profound and exactly what I'm looking for, because I think as believers, folks often struggle with some of these. You know, it's always presented as a very simplistic thing to do. Give thanks unto God all of the time. Be thankful in everything. Well, words on the page, you can read it, and that sounds very easy to do.
Yeah.
That also sounds something very churchy. And I think in the real world, when you're presented with, like, hey, you know what? I'm coming home to tell you that I lost my job.
Yeah.
It's hard to find the thankfulness or being grateful in that moment, because it's like, you know what? This is terrible.
Yeah.
You know what, Lord, I'm struggling to find the lesson here. You know, you referenced our pregnancies, our losses. Like, I'm struggling to find the joy here. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling to find where I should be thankful here. Mm-hmm. Like, I am having a very difficult time.
Yeah.
In fact, I am struggling
right
now, and I want to have a grateful heart, and I want to be thankful, but I am also consumed with rage.
Yeah.
And I think it is okay. And now you're going to make me cry.
Sorry.
But I think it's okay as believers, one, to be vulnerable and to acknowledge, like, hey, you know what? This has gone left. But in spite of, I'm making every effort to thank you anyway.
Yeah.
And I think when we were, like, when we were preparing for this lesson, like, the note that I have right now says that we have to choose to acknowledge God's sovereignty in our lives. Even when things are out of balance, even when things seem to be off kilter, I still have to recognize God's greatness and his omniscience and his love for me. Like, I still have to recognize that, because I think we often find it difficult to be thankful or grateful because we're focused so much on how awful of a situation this is, as opposed to, God, even though this is terrible in this moment, I know that you will bring me through. I know that you still have your hand on my life. I know that in this moment, it still may be awful and terrible, but I do serve a greater God. I do serve an all-knowing, all-powerful God. I do serve a God that's not going to let me be made ashamed. I serve my Heavenly Father is going to make sure that even in this moment, the end result, this moment doesn't define our entire relationship. Because, Lord, I still remember when you brought me through. I know that you're going to do it again. And I think when we shift our focus and attention to that, as opposed to how awful this situation may be, then it becomes easier to make sure that we don't lose perspective in terms of who God is, what he wants to do, what he has promised us, and what he said he'd do for us in his word. And even though I want it to be, you know, almost automatic, sometimes you got to work at it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think from this perspective, being grateful, you got to work at it. I mean, so oftentimes we have to make sure that we don't lose sight of that. You know, when we were reading in Psalm 69 and 30, and the Amplified says, "Let me shout God's name with a praising song. Let me tell his greatness in a prayer of thanks. You know, for God, this is better." Like, he's better.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happens, he's better. When we first start talking in Psalms 95 and we were reading 1 Thessalonians, it talks about all of the great things that God is. Like, he's bigger, he's awesome, he's greater, he's larger. He's bigger than the problem that you're looking at.
I need to go back for you. So, have you ever been mad at God?
Have I? Often. I mean, I'm giving you a very honest answer. There have been times where I've been infuriated with him, angry. And here's the thing. It's okay. Like, that's okay. That's okay for me to be upset in that moment, because oftentimes growing up, my parents may have chastised me or told me something and I was furious with them. Mm. Now, granted, in that moment, I didn't see the wisdom in it, but yes, that has happened. Like, you know what? As a person, I don't like being told no. Like, what do you mean no?
Right.
No. Like, that's not the answer that I'm seeking after. So there have been times where I have been upset with him, with God, with the decision, with the way that, you know, the path was going, because it wasn't my plan.
Right. So do you, when you see that happening, and you're pretty keen and you're pretty in line with the Lord's plan for your life. You've said it several times. I have to say, I'm going to stick a pin in that one. I have to say, though, we are 8 years, right? Because our youngest is 8 now.
Yeah.
And that still stings a little, right? We haven't talked about this in a very long time. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell, like, somebody in passing that we had, you know, miscarriages or whatever, but we've never really spoken about that. And I it's funny that this is coming up again. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and we said that men handle things very differently. This is horrible. I think by our fourth one, I was like, yep, you know, whatever. And you were still angry like it was the first time.
Right.
And every time you got increasingly more angry, and every time I just got more, you know, laissez-quoi, what's that word?
Laissez-faire.
Yeah, laissez-faire. Like, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
You just mixed je ne sais quoi and laissez-faire. That's a nice mashup. That's great. And if I spoke French, then I would be able to tell you what that meant. But I don't.
So we're just going to have, like, I was just okay with it. Like, yeah. This is, you know, we're not meant to have kids.
Was it, were you tapping out at that point?
So do you remember, like, I filled out the application and wrote the check for the deposit for adoption for Adoptions from the Heart.
Yeah.
And I was walking it to the mailbox, and I remember telling my dad this, and he's like, I knew I shouldn't have called you. And my dad was home, and he called me, and I went to talk to him.
Yeah.
And I never made it to the mailbox.
Right.
And then we realized that we were pregnant with Jackson. Yeah. And then that doctor let us hang out a little longer. And then here we are with Jackson.
Yeah.
And then that same doctor let us hang out, you know, one day they'll hear the whole story, let us hang out a little longer with Ethan.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we ended. But we were walking to the mailbox. See, the Lord uses people that you don't expect to use. And that's what happened. My dad had no idea what I was doing.
Sure.
Right. And called me back. So I never made it to the mailbox.
Right.
And then I'm, you know, sometimes dimwitted and forgot about the check or whatever. I wasn't feeling well. Obviously, I was pregnant, but wasn't feeling well, and never made it back out to the mailbox.
Right.
Right. And it's funny. In that moment, mm-hmm. right, in that moment, I'm like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
Lord, what do you, all right, just let me know. Right. I just, you know, and closed it off because you asked, how am I still cheerful? And closed it off. Let me tell you, when I look at our children.
Yeah.
And I see you.
Can't take you anywhere.
I know.
Jeez.
Like, I'm so thankful for what we've been through to get there.
Yes.
Because the timing wasn't right. Because wherever we were 10 years ago, or how old's Callie? 14, 13, 12 years ago. I guess it would be 15, 16.
Now you're going to do math too?
Like, we weren't ready.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you know, when we were going through all that, like, it was devastating. It was earth shattering. And, you know, because I just knew that this was going to work. And, mm-hmm. and it was difficult. And I think looking back at life now, it's those moments where, you know, we came out better on the other side that, you know, in those moments where you get a little shaky, like, Lord, you know, is this going to work this time? That's when, you know, that gratefulness, peace starts to kick in.
We thank you for joining us for service today. Before we leave, we would like to give you the opportunity to know Jesus. It's as simple as ABC. I accept God and I acknowledge the sins in my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I commit my life to you. If you said that simple prayer, we believe that you've been born again. Welcome to the family.